Your word I must hide in my heart, in my heart. Your word I must hide in my heart, in my heart. Your word I must hide in my heart. Your word gives me joy in my heart, in my heart. Your word gives me joy in my heart, in my heart. Your word gives me joy.
Sunday morning, friends and neighbors, and welcome to the Word of Life radio broadcast. I am Jeff Clevenger, your speaker, and I am the minister for the San Rock Church of Christ, and it is that group of folks that brings this program to you each and every week, and I'm so thankful for them, and I'm so thankful for you and your willingness to tune in and listen to our program today. I want you to go ahead and grab your Bibles, because that's the most important thing. We're seeking to know God. We're seeking to know Jesus. We're seeking to know why we need Jesus. We've been doing that now. This will be the fourth week that we've been looking at why we need Jesus. The first week we looked at it, we decided we needed Jesus because he promises the crown of life. And then the following week, we needed Jesus because he's coming back again someday. And then last week, we need Jesus because he is going to deliver us from the wrath to come. Today, we're going to continue to look at that. We're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. And what we're going to notice today is that we need Jesus because he establishes our hearts. And friends, I know I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Everything for a Christian comes down to a heart issue. Either Jesus Christ is going to reign on the throne of our heart, or something else is going to reign on the throne of our heart. And anything that reigns on the throne of our heart, other than Jesus Christ and him crucified, is going to keep us from being what we ought to be. It's going to keep us from being a follower and a dedicated believer in Jesus Christ. So it's crucial that our hearts be right. The Proverbs writer said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, put it this way, wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So our heart and the condition of our heart and where our heart is and who reigns on our heart and having our heart established is crucial. It's important because we are not and never will be what Christ would desire us to be if our hearts are not where they need to be. And that's exactly what Paul is going to be talking to the church at Thessalonica about as he is talking to them in the section of scripture that we're going to look at today. So hopefully you're getting your Bibles handy, paper, pen, ready to take some notes, ready to jump into a study. But before we do that, let me take just a minute to tell you about the congregation of folks that bring this program to you each and every week. This program is brought to you by the San Rock Church of Christ, just a group of Christians that love the Lord, that care about our community, and that are dedicated to make a difference. And I know I say that each and every week, and I hope that from my standpoint, it's not just words. And I hope that you understand that it's not just words. It is our sincere hope. It is our sincere desire to love our Lord Jesus Christ with every fiber of our being. It is our sincere and desire and hope to make a difference in our community because we love our community. We love our friends. We love our family. We love our fellow citizens, and we want to make a difference. And we are dedicated to making that difference in our community for the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want you to know, friends, where we meet. We meet at 3633 Alabama Highway 68 in the beautiful little town of San Rock, Alabama, up on Lookout Mountain. It's about 3 miles from Leesburg. It's about 6 miles from Collinsville. We're really easy to find, and we hope you'll come and seek us out. And so you'll know when we meet there. As of right now, because of the COVID-19 pandemic, we are only meeting there on Sunday morning, and we are doing a split service on Sunday morning. The first service is at 9:45. The second service is at 11 o'clock. Both those services, we are live streaming on our Facebook page, and we're also FM transmitting those on FM 99.9 for those that may want to come to the parking lot and sit and listen to it on radio and take part in the service with us that way. So we have multiple ways that you can join us for that service. If you're a visitor and you're thinking, well, which service should I come to, 9:45 or 11? Listen, you come to either one, you come to both, and it'll work out just fine. We've got plans to make sure that social distancing and everything is the way that it needs to be for the safety and security of everyone. So if you get a chance to come and be with us, please do that. We're also doing a live stream on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. on our Facebook page as well. So we hope that you'll join us for those services. So friends, you know when we meet, you know where we meet, and we want you to know that you are always welcome. And if we can ever do anything to help you or assist you, please reach out and let us know. All right, guys, now it's time for us to dive into our study and do what we're on this program to do. Take a look at God's Word and see what it tells us about why we need Jesus. And this week we're going to see that we need Jesus because He establishes our heart. We're only going to look at three verses today, but man, they are powerful verses full of things for us to dig into and understand. So we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're beginning in verse 11. And here's what Paul tells the church at Thessalonica, the Christians that assemble and worship in Thessalonica. He says to them, "Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of His saints." Now, that's the passage under consideration here, and I want you to understand that the key subject of what we're looking at today is the establishing of our hearts, and that comes from verse 13, which is the key verse. He's summing up this prayer that he has here in that verse when he says, "So that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." Now, there's some key people that we need to remember as to what's going on here. First off, it's Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy that are writing this letter to them. If you go back to chapter 1 in the book of Thessalonians, in verse 1 it says, "Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ." So this is a letter that's coming directly from the Apostle Paul, but also includes Silvanus and Timothy. So everywhere he says "we" or "our," he's talking about himself, Silvanus, and Timothy. Himself and these two apprentices of his in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we need to remember those three men and the godly men that they were. We need to also remember that he's directly writing this letter to the church at Thessalonica. So he's dealing with them directly, but God is dealing with us indirectly. These are precepts and these are things that are being taught here that are crucial for all of us. And as a matter of fact, there at the end of verse 13, when he says that he wants to establish our hearts blameless in holiness before God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints, with all His saints. when the Lord returns, it's going to be about all the saints and friends at the end of the day. That's all I want to be at the end of the day. That's all you should want to be, a saint. And a saint is not this idea of a perfect person that gets voted on and established. That's not it at all. If you're a Christian that's walking in the light as he is in the light, you're a saint. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ that has been baptized into Christ and you are in Christ, and listen, that's crucial. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. It's about being in Christ. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are writing to people who are in Christ in this passage of Scripture here. So that's who he's talking to. And there's two very key words that he mentions in these three short verses. And the first key word is love. And listen, friends, as a Christian, you can't get away from love, because God is love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, at the end of that chapter, Paul said, "Now abideth these three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love's greater than faith. Love's greater than hope. Love's greater than everything, because love is eternal, because God is eternal." And love is something that we have got to grasp and that we've got to understand. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was asked on one occasion, "Teacher, what's the greatest commandment?" And he said, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength." That's the greatest commandment. Love God with everything you've got. So there's nothing greater than that. That means love is crucial. Our love towards God. And then Jesus said, and the second one is likened unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. On this hangs all the law and the prophets. On that hangs everything. Loving God with everything you've got and loving your neighbor as yourself. So we've really got to get our hands around this word, love. And we've really got to get our minds around this concept of love. And the other key word here is heart. He wants to establish their hearts. And again, I said it as we began this program, I've said it before, and I know I will say it again. For a Christian, everything comes down to a heart issue. Either our heart is right with God, or our heart is not right with God. And if it's right with God, we need to keep on doing what we're doing. But if it's not right with God, then whatever's keeping it from being right with God needs to be changed. We need to establish our hearts in such a way that Christ reigns, and it's about him. And our life is centered on and guided by and directed by and motivated by Jesus Christ and him crucified. So we're going to look at these two very key words in this passage today. And there's some key principles that he gives us here that I don't want us to miss. And all of these are leading up to establishing our hearts. And the first principle I want us to get here is that face-to-face is best. In this passage, Paul is basically offering up a prayer for the church there at Thessalonica. And in his prayer, he lists three things that he's praying for. In the first, he says, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you." Direct our way to you. He said, we want to come where you're at. Now, he's writing them a letter, and this letter is valuable. God has seen fit that it's endured the test of time. It's still here for us today and will be here for us till the world stands no more. I'm certain of that fact. But Paul says, listen, this letter is great. Facebook is great. Snapchat, Instagram are great. FaceTime and all of these modes that we've been using to communicate and stay in touch with each other, they're great. And I'm thankful that we have them. But there is no substitute for face-to-face. I remember when COVID-19 started, and it was myself and just a handful of people that were at the church building together to live stream our service. It was less than 10, because at that time, the most that you could have in an assembly was 10 people. And I'm telling you that we were offering up worship to Almighty God the same way we have done it. I know we were doing it in spirit. I know we were doing it in truth. I know it was being done the way that God would have it to be done, but there was something vitally different And it's the fact that all of us collectively as Christians were not able to be together face to face. We were not able to enjoy that time of fellowship and worship together. There is something crucial and something important about that. And I realize we're still going through this COVID-19 pandemic, and I realize that's still changing the way that we can interact and be with one another. But friends, we need to never miss the idea that face-to-face is important. Being together is important. There's a reason why God told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is in Hebrews chapter 10. And it's because he has given us each other because it's crucial to us. It's important to us. It's something that we need, and it's something that if we don't have, a very big piece of what we need is missing. So don't miss that. And when you do get an opportunity to be together with the saints and to come together to worship and to do it safely, please embrace that and please get back to doing that, because it's important. It's crucial. And I mean, he's making that point here. All right. But he also goes on. Here's the second thing that he prays for, that they will be made to increase and abound in love to one another and to all. That's the second part of his prayer. Now, first off, we need to understand something. He says that if they're going to increase and abound in love, that number one, it's got to be by Jesus. Did you know what he said in verse 12? And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love. May the Lord do that. Jesus has got a part. God's got a part. The Holy Spirit's got a part in helping us to abound in love. And we need to look to them to be our guide. We need to look to them to be our example. We need to look to them to be our standard of what love is. And then he guides that love. He says, listen, that kind of love that I'm going to help you with, that I'm going to direct you to, that I'm going to guide you to, is the kind of love that you need to have for one another, for Christians. For your fellow Christians, you need to love one another. Jesus said on another occasion, by this they shall know you are my disciples if you love one another. If Christians love Christians, we'll know that that you're disciples of Christ. But the flip side of that is true also. If you don't love your fellow Christians as Jesus would have you to, it would be an indicator that you're not a disciple of Christ. So friends, love is crucial, and we've got to get it right. And who in the world would we want to be a part of something where people are backbiting one another and fighting with one another and not getting along with one another? It's crucial that we love one another and that we strive together in unity. If we can't love other members of the body, how is it that we can say at the end of the day that we love the head of the body, Jesus Christ and him crucified? And I think you know the answer to that just as well as I do. And you may be sitting there thinking, well, listen, I have the love for my brothers and sisters in Christ the way that I ought to have. And I hope that's true. If it's not, I hope you'll change whatever you need to change. But if it is true, that's great. You keep doing what you're doing. But that's not all he said there. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all. And to all, everybody. We're supposed to love everybody. And that love should not be predicated on anything. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not have a disclaimer other than that we believe in Jesus Christ and all that incorporates. That incorporates true, real, genuine biblical faith that hears what God has to say, that believes what God has to say, and that does what God had to say. Jesus didn't come to die for a certain race. Jesus didn't come to die for a certain gender. Jesus didn't come to die for a certain age group. He didn't come to die for those that are educated versus uneducated. Jesus came and died for everybody so that all of our sins could be washed away, so that all of us could enjoy eternal life in heaven with God forevermore. So we need to love everybody. Jesus even went so far in the Sermon on the Mount to say, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But he said, I tell you, love your enemy. Love your enemy. Now, if you can love your enemy, you can certainly love everybody else. And Jesus certainly loved his enemies. The Bible says, and yet we were, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And when we were sinners, we were enemies of Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? And that's how much he loved his enemy, you and I. And friends, we need to simply love everybody. And then Paul says, if you want to know what that looks like in real life, you need to love one another and you need to love everybody just as we do you. He says, I love you. Silvanus loves you. Timothy loves you. And you know that we love you. So look at how we love you. And that's how you ought to love one another. And that's how you ought to love everybody. So he gives them a standard that they can see, that they can touch, that they can feel, that they can understand. And of course, ultimately, the example points to Jesus Christ and him crucified. So listen, friends, we've got to love one another. We've got to love one another. And then we get to the heart of what we're looking at in our passage today. Here's the third thing that he prays for in this passage, and it's in verse 13. He says, I want to come to you because it's more important to be there face to face, and you need to love, to increase and abound in love for one another and for all. So that there's a reason why I want to come to you. There's a reason why you need to increase and abound in love to one another and to everybody. There's a reason why. He says, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Do you notice what he said there? Our hearts must be established, must be. And listen, there's some crucial parts to that. Number one, our hearts must be established by Jesus. Without Jesus, our hearts can't be established. Can't be. We've got to have Jesus Christ. We've got to be in Jesus Christ if we want and desire our hearts to be established. Friends, you need Jesus Christ so your heart can be what it ought to be. And here's the way he wants it to be. He wants your heart to be blameless in holiness. Well, there's only one way your heart's going to be blameless in holiness, and that's that you be in Jesus Christ, that you be baptized into Jesus Christ so that your sins can be remitted, so your sins can be washed away, so that your sins can be taken away. And we sing that old song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you willing to do what it takes to be in Christ Jesus so that he can establish your heart blameless in holiness? And he wants to do that before God the Father. He wants to be able to establish us blameless and holy before God the Father, so that heaven can be our home, so that we can enjoy eternal life and fellowship with God and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit forevermore. And there's a time limit on it. He says, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. There's a day that the Lord's going to return, and I don't know when it is, and you don't know when it is. It's been over 2,000 years. I don't know when he's going to return. But I do know this, he is going to return. And if he doesn't return long enough, I'm going to die at some point, and so are you. That day is coming. Either death or the return of Christ is coming. And friends, our hearts have to be established before we breathe our last breath or before the Lord returns, whichever comes first. Because if our hearts are not established, we're not going to be ready to stand before our God and Father on judgment day. We're just not going to be able to do that. So we need Jesus Christ. And there's some other things that we absolutely have to understand from this passage. Number one, we have to increase and abound in love. We have to. That means our love's got to continue to grow, right? That's what increase means, that it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. We never get to a point where our love is as big as it needs to be, because God never gets to the point where his love just stops. Jesus never gets to the point where his love just stops. The Holy Spirit never gets to a point where his love just stops. Our love should never get to the point where it just stops. It's got to keep increasing, and it's got to keep abounding. Love is not love if it's not doing something. Love is not love if it's not reaching out. Love is not love if it's not making a difference. Friends, it's got to be increasing. It's got to be abounding. And here's how it's got to be increasing and abounding. We've got to follow the lead of Jesus Christ. We got to follow his lead. We got to follow his example. And he has set a wonderfully huge and beautiful standard and example for us that we may think, hey, we'll never live up to that. And there's a sense in which that's true. But there's also a sense in which I know that Jesus Christ can do anything. And if I will allow him, if I will allow him into my heart, and if I will allow him to change me, then I can love the way that he wants me to love. I've got to follow his lead. And I've got to love my fellow Christians the way he loves my fellow Christians. And he loved all my fellow Christians enough to die for them. And he said, greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. So if I'm going to love my fellow Christians the way that Jesus did, I got to love them enough to die for them. I've got to love them enough to say, listen, your wants, your needs, what's best for you comes before what I want. It comes before what I need. It comes before what's best for me. Because you are more important to me than I am to myself. That's the standard. That's the goal. That's what we've got to look for. And if you look at the division and the things that are going on in our world right now, if people would just learn to love other people the way that God intended for them to love other people, all of those problems would just evaporate into thin air. They would be gone because we would be loving one another and caring about one another and reaching out and helping one another. And, you know, we've also got to learn to love all as he loves them, no matter who they are, no matter where they come from, no matter how much like us they are or how much different from us they are, we've got to love them. We've got to care about them. We've got to want to make a difference and a positive difference in their life. And listen, there are people in this life that we can look to just like they had Paul and Silvanus and Timothy. There are people in this life that we can look to for an example of how to love our brethren and how to love all men the way that we ought to. And it really all comes down to this. It takes both deity and humanity doing their part in order for our hearts to be established so that we may stand justified on Judgment Day. And here's something I can assure you of. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have done, are doing, and will always do their part. So the question is, friends, am I doing my part? Are you doing your part so that our hearts can be established blameless in holiness? Well, friends, that's our lesson for today. And I want to thank you so much for joining me. It is always an honor and a privilege. I am so thankful for this radio program. I'm thankful for the church at Sandrock. And most importantly, though, I'm thankful for Jesus Christ and him crucified and the blood that he shed and the hope that gives me. And friends, if there's anything that I or anyone at the Sandrock Church of Christ can do to assist you so that your heart may be established and blameless in holiness, please let us know, because we want to make a difference. We love you. We care about you. And I look forward, friends, to being with you next week. Until then, have a great weekend.
Do not lose heart. Take care, my soul, that you not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Eternity matters, so do not lose heart. How can I pray when my heart is broken? How can I praise when I see so much pain? How can I try through the many trials? How can I grow when it feels there's no gain? How can I work when it looks so worthless? How can I serve when it all seems vain? Do not lose heart. Do not lose heart.
Eternity matters, so do not lose heart. Do not lose heart, do not lose heart. Take care, my soul, that you not lose heart. Do not lose heart, do not lose heart. Eternity matters, so do not lose heart.